We will continue with our study of this great letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to this church at Corinth, a church that had, if we could say, a lot of difficulties, a lot of troubles, and a lot of questions. And so Paul has been responding to this church's questions and the things that he's been hearing about them now up till chapter 9. And he continues this week to speak to them about surrendering his rights and surrendering his freedoms for the sake of somebody else, for the sake of his brothers and sisters, and for the sake of those who have not yet heard the gospel. We'll be reading verses 15 to 23, where the apostle, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes, "But I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing these things to secure any such provision. For I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting. For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am still entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my reward? That in preaching I might present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." Let's pray. Father, as the Apostle Paul teaches this church and instructs them on how to better witness to their brothers and sisters in Christ, how to better win their brothers and sisters in Christ, and how to better edify those that are inside the body, by sacrificing their rights and their privileges and their opinions, Lord, may it be the same way with us. That we would learn, God, to love one another. That we would learn, God, to be willing to sacrifice our pride and to sacrifice our boasting for the sake of Christ. That He would be what we would boast in the most. That, God, our minds would be filled with a joy in the gospel. That You would send us out into Your fields of harvest, Lord, to reap people for Your sake. God, please use this place and these people to do just that. And please use Your word this morning as we study it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of you may know the story of Jim Elliot. How many of you all know Jim Elliot is? Jim Elliot was a missionary to Ecuador, you know, many years ago, back in the 50s, who traveled down there with some friends that he had made at Wheaton College. And he was told that if he were to go down to Ecuador to try to witness to these tribes that were there, that they were very dangerous, and it's possible that they might even lose their lives. But Jim Elliot and his friends were willing to take that risk, and they spent 3 years down in that country witnessing to this tribe, began to make friends with them. They would drop supplies down to them, try to get to know them in hopes that they might have an opportunity to share the gospel. But one day they were out in the wilderness, and they were approached by 10 people of this tribe, and they had firearms on them, so they had an opportunity to defend themselves, but they did not, and instead these men lost their lives for the sake of the gospel. Later on, some of y'all may have seen the story, End of the Spear. How many of y'all have seen that movie? Just a couple of you have seen the movie, where the son of the pilot, whose name was Nate Saint, went down there and began to win these people for Jesus. They began to make contact because of the bridges that had already been built and because of an immense moving of the Holy Spirit in that country. People began to know Christ. And some people might be saying to themselves, they might ask themselves, why would anybody be willing to give their life, go to another country, not just their livelihood, not just their comfort, but their life, so that somebody else might be able to hear the gospel? And we have to be able to say that it is because these men and so many others who have been willing to give their life love the gospel. And they love their Christ. They love Jesus, and they were willing to do whatever it would take so that more people would know of their Savior. And so this morning, my question to you is, as we begin, is, do you love the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you love your Savior? Do you love your Christ? Not, was there a time in your life when you did, but do you love Jesus right now? Are you passionate about Him? Are you passionate about His good news? Because instead of punishment, God will give you grace and forgiveness through Him. The perfect one was whipped and He was crucified, but you and I were set free. You and I were the criminals, but He took your sentence. He took my sentence. You were the one being sold as a slave at an auction, but He paid your price and then He turned you loose. Everybody in this room deserves judgment, but Jesus promises forgiveness to everyone who will trust in Him, who will believe that He is who He says He is, that He is the Son of God, that He gave His life as a ransom for all who believe. Do you believe that this morning? Do you love the gospel? Search your heart this morning. This isn't just some random question. Search your heart and ask yourself, do you love the gospel? And can you truly answer in the affirmative? What makes your life any different from the person who rejects Jesus? Can you say that there is a noticeable difference between you and them? Is there evidence of grace in your life? Is there service in your life? Do you love to serve? Is there affection for Christ? As you spend time with God throughout the day, is there affection for Jesus? Does He warm your heart? Do you hate the sin that is still present within you? Do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you love those people who don't know Jesus? Would you be willing to open up your mouth so that they might know Christ themselves? So they might know the same mercy and the same grace that you have taken part in. Do you love the gospel? Do you truly desire to see this community of people grow in their holiness, to grow in their purity? Now, as Paul wrote this letter right here, that was one of his main concerns we began with a long time ago in chapter 1. He wanted them to be a community that was full of purity and holiness, just like His God is pure and holy. We are being made into His image as He gives us grace, as He shapes us by His Word. Is that your desire this morning? Do you want to see the person sitting closest to you grow in their holiness and their commitment to Christ? Do you pray and hope that people will love Jesus? The people in this community will love Jesus more than drugs or alcohol or sex or power, any of the things that people give their lives to. Do you hope that they will come in these doors one day and know the gospel of Jesus Christ instead of staying outside of these doors, committing their lives to these things that will never save them, that will never satisfy them? Only one thing will satisfy these people, and it is their God. They have been made to worship Him. Will you open up your mouth for their sake so they might know Christ? Do you know that God desires to destroy strongholds in this city? That His Spirit would move in this place in a mighty way. But we have to be willing to be vessels for His glory, to share His Word. Together we can do amazing things through the Christ that saved us. But God desires for us to be faithful. And God desires for us to love His gospel. Love it more than anything, maybe even more than life itself. Will you ask yourself today to renew your love for the gospel? Maybe you'll have to remember back to a day when Jesus saved you and you felt a great deal of joy that day, but maybe you haven't felt it since. Will you ask God to renew that joy this morning? We cannot expect people from Buffalo, New York, just because our doors are open in the back, to just come walking in on Sunday morning, and because we post our times on the sign outside, to walk in and hear the gospel and believe. Maybe that has happened in the past. And who knows, maybe it'll happen again in the future. But God desires for us to take the gospel to them, to walk across that bridge, to be willing to conquer fear and to be bold for His sake, and not just open up our doors and hope that they might come. We have to ask them to come. We have to ask them to come to Christ and ask them to come to our church. And hopefully when they come here, they'll see a community that's filled with grace and love and a place where they can come and serve their Lord. We have to be a grace-saturated, people-loving, gospel-driven church. Paul was a gospel-driven man. We see in the last verse of this passage, verse 23, where he says, I do it all for the sake of the gospel. He means his whole life revolves around the gospel of Jesus Christ. He does it all so that God would be glorified through the message that he has been entrusted with. That's why he went. That's why he was willing. That's why he was willing to suffer, to be pelted with stones, or to be at shipwreck at night, or to be cursed by his countrymen, so that the gospel would go forward. He loved the gospel because he knew the gospel is what saved him. It was not his goodness. It is not your goodness this morning that you've been saved. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you love it? Do you love it, my friends? Do you love it? The last verse in our passage tells us why Paul was motivated, and we have to be motivated by that same reason and that same cause. We have to be willing to follow Jesus wherever he takes us, no matter what he asks us to do for his sake and for the gospel. And so in service of the gospel that he loved, Paul tells us two things in this passage that he was ready and that he was willing to do. And the first thing was, he was willing to sacrifice his rights. This is a continuation, really, of our time together last week, where Paul says that he was willing to sacrifice his right to compensation by this church so that the gospel would go forward free of charge. He says, I have a right to these things. If I were to labor in the field for spiritual reasons, I labor in a spiritual field, but, he says, I have a right to material gain from you. And so he tells them and builds that case and shows them why that is true. And so again, he reiterates here that he sacrifices his rights for money. His answer centers on what he says is his boasting. His boasting. He has reason to boast. And he's not talking about boasting in the sense of pride here. But he's talking about his joy. His joy, or his fulfillment, his satisfaction in preaching the gospel. He wants to be able to do this free of charge in service of his Christ. He knew who his master was. Who is your master this morning? What is your master? What drives you? Who is Lord of your life, or what is Lord of your life? Paul knew that Jesus was his master, and he loved to serve his master. Because he was called by Christ, it was a necessity for him to preach. He says, I'd rather die than to somebody take my boasting from me. He says, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. It was as if he closed his mouth and would not open it, he would explode. It was in his bones to preach. You couldn't make him stop preaching the gospel. He was going to do it. He couldn't help himself. The people that Paul met, they were all targets for the gospel because he wanted them to know his Savior. Money would never be the reason that he proclaimed Jesus as Lord. It was because Jesus was Lord that Paul opened his mouth. He tells him in verse 15, just in case you think that I'm saying these things so that you might feel guilty and give me some material support, he says, let me be clear. I don't ever want your money. I don't want you to support me in these things. I'm going to preach the gospel to you free of charge. Paul felt that if he took the support that was rightfully his, it wasn't a gain to him. It wasn't gain to him to receive money. It was a loss to him. His reward, he says, was the opportunity to preach the gospel to this congregation for nothing. For nothing. Have you ever loved to do something so much that you would just do it without getting paid for it? Or maybe you are just artistic and you love to paint or draw, or maybe you have a special hobby or gift that God has given to you, and if just given yourself over to the time, you could spend it however you wanted to, you would go and do these things. You don't want any money for it. But some of you may have had the opportunity at some point to start getting paid for the thing that you loved. And I don't know if this is your case or not, but some of the people who begin to get paid for the thing that they love start to lose the satisfaction that they have in it because they're being compensated. It becomes a chore rather than a choice. It becomes an obligation rather than something they desire to do. So Paul says here, if they were to start paying me for this, it would take some of my joy away, some of my boasting from what I love to do. And this wasn't the only place. This wasn't the only church where Paul had the practice of supporting himself. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we speak not to please man, but to please God, who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor the pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. And so he tells this church that his practice was, or we see his general practice was, as he went to a new congregation or to a new place, Paul would work. And he would support himself in his ministry. Now, he did receive support from churches that he had already been to. And so later on, he would receive financial aid from, say, Philippi, or one of the churches that he planted. But any new place that he went and preached the gospel to them, he did not receive money. Because he did not want them to think that is the purpose of why he came. And you ever notice how sometimes people are suspicious when you show up to a place and you start asking for something, right? Have any of you all ever sat through one of those spiels from a timeshare company? You know, where they say that, hey, if you just sit through our hour-long speech, we'll give you free tickets to tonight's show, right? And some of you probably think to yourselves, like, well, I don't know how bad I want those tickets. Or maybe there's some more strings attached that I don't want to sit through their hour-long spiel. Some of y'all may have sat through those and gone through with a timeshare. But it raises suspicion in people's minds whenever somebody wants to give something away, they think there are strings attached to it. Paul says he never wanted anybody to think that his purpose was to make a living or for material gain. So whenever he traveled from place to place, he preached the gospel free of charge and said to them, there are no strings attached. We don't want anything from you. We just want to labor and toil by your side and preach this good news to you in hopes that you will know our Savior. As we look to reach this community with the gospel, we need to be willing to do it for nothing in return. No strings attached. Not asking them for anything. No immediate return on our investment. Not asking that others will give their time or their service or their money. But we're going to spend our resources and our time, our gifts, our money, for their sake. Just so that those might have Christ. When we say we do this for Jesus' sake or for the glory of God, we need to mean just that. That is why we do this. We're doing it for His sake and for His glory, that people might know Him, and that the glory of God might spread across Buffalo and our community. We want people to know of this great glory and this great joy. If you have no joy right now in serving in your church, there's something that's just not quite right. You know, maybe you're serving for the wrong reasons, or maybe you were overworked in the past. But you need to have joy in doing something for Jesus' sake here. And it doesn't just mean on Sunday mornings that you come in and have a job when you walk in the door. It might mean that you're serving Christ throughout the week and encouraging people, calling people, writing letters to people, following up with people who come and visit here. There's so many ways to serve the body. It doesn't just have to be here on Sunday mornings. I've had conversations with many of you all over the last several months, and several of you in the last few months, asking you what your story is, getting to hear your testimony of how you came to know Jesus and what God has done here in the past and what you hope that He does in the future. And almost to a person, when I've asked the question, you know, when was a time when you were here, when was a time when you grew the most, you all have told me when you served. When you served in a particular ministry at some point here at CAS, that's when God seemed to move the most in your life and make you grow and stretch you, maybe take you outside of your comfort zone. And so this morning I would say to you, if you're not serving somewhere, you need to be serving the body in some way. And God will use those opportunities to grow you and to grow those people around you. So have joy this morning in serving. The second thing that Paul tells us in this passage that he's willing to sacrifice was his freedom. He was willing to sacrifice his freedom to become a slave, he tells us. Look at verse 19. He says, "For though I am free from all, I've made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them." Now, what are some basic ways that we categorize people? How do we categorize people? By race? By money? Maybe by political party, or maybe where you're from, north, south, east coast, west coast. You know, in Paul's day, one of the most basic ways that they categorized people was whether they were slave or free. And so Paul says here in this passage, he goes, "I'm free from all." He knows that Jesus has set him free from everything. He's no longer in bondage to sin. He's no longer in bondage to death or to Satan. He is a free man. But he says, though I know that I am free, I am willing to become a slave to everybody. Because he says, the place of influence, the greatest place of influence for the sake of the kingdom is to become a servant. Not to be a free man, not to boast in his freedom, but to come under the yoke of Jesus Christ and to be a slave of people. This is where he would have most influence to win people to Christ. If you remember back in chapter 1 how Paul begins this letter, he talks about the cross and how it is the wisdom of God, though it's the foolishness to men. It's as if God turns the wisdom of man upside down. And so here Paul continues with that same theme and says, it is better to be a slave of all than to be free of all, so that we might be able to win more for Jesus' sake. And he tells us his mission here. His mission here, he says four times in this passage, is to win more of them, to win some. And lastly, he says that he might save some. Paul's desire was to win people to Jesus Christ. If you could boil it all down to one thing for Paul, he wanted to see people come to know Jesus. He was an evangelist. He wanted to see the glory of God spread everywhere that he went. And I don't think this is just Paul's calling as an apostle. Yes, he was a man superiorly blessed by God to bring the gospel and to see people saved. But if you remember back in chapter 8, he's talking to people about an ethic that he has that is supposed to apply to all parts of life. And so his ethic is love. And so as they are concerned about whether or not they should eat this particular food, some said they could eat it, some said they could not, Paul says you need to be willing to set aside your rights or your freedoms so that other people will grow or other people will come to know the Lord. And so he's giving us a demonstration here in this passage of how he himself does that. He sets aside his freedoms and he sets aside his rights so that people will know Jesus. This is what love does. And the most loving thing that Paul could do for these people was to bring them the gospel. And so as we go out into our community, or maybe in your job or in your work, you're concerned of what they might think or say about you. Or all they want me to do is to come to know Jesus. Absolutely. What greater goal could you possibly have for your friends or for your coworkers or for your neighbors than they might know the Lord? And so Paul saw everybody as a target for the gospel. And he wasn't afraid to tell us that that was the case. And that's what he's essentially telling us here. Everybody that he comes in contact with, he hopes to get the gospel to them. And he shows us how he does this in verses 20 to 22. Look at what he says. He says, to the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law. To the weak, I became weak. He does all of these things so that people might come to know Jesus. He was never willing to sacrifice the message. Paul was never willing to sacrifice the message. But he was always willing to sacrifice his preferences. He wasn't going to sacrifice truth, but he was always willing to sacrifice his preferences. And so to be able to win Jews to Jesus, he would eat the things that they ate, he would go the places that they would go. He would conform to their culture so that he was never a hindrance to the gospel. So Jewish people wouldn't eat pork, right? You think Paul, when he was around them, ate pork? No, he didn't. Because he did not want to offend them or put any obstacle in their way of hearing the gospel. He would act like they would. He would sacrifice his rights and his freedoms. To win those under the law of Moses, he lived as though he was under the law too. To those who were outside of the law, he kind of set the law aside. Paul was very flexible, not in his message, but in the way that he carried himself when seeking to win people to Christ. Though he knew he was free, he was willing to live inside the scruples of other people. Does that make sense? Like, as you are looking to win your neighbors to Jesus, be willing to live inside of their scruples, their conscience, their preferences. And don't be willing to step on their toes just because you know that you have the right to say or do particular things. Because the goal is to bring them to Jesus. The Lord has given us a mission. Now, this is his gospel, but he has entrusted us to share it. Have you ever been amazed by that? That God would choose to use me and you to take the most precious thing in the world and carry it inside these jars of clay to see His glory spread. Have you ever been amazed by that? That God would choose to use you. But He does. And He desires to. Just again, just like this letter was written about weakness being the power of God. We are weak, but God chooses to use us to show His power. And so God has placed people in your life that you need to be strategic about in reaching for Christ. Do you hear me? I know it's warm in here. And I know that we're getting tired. And it's easy to be sleepy. But please hear this. God has placed you where He has placed you so that you will be strategic to reach them for Jesus. Your neighbors are your neighbors for a reason. Your co-workers are your co-workers for a reason. Those who are still in school, God has you in that school for a purpose, so that you might bring Him glory as you share the gospel with the people that He has placed in your sphere of influence. Do not be ashamed that these people are there close by, that you want to reach them for Jesus. He has given you that message for a purpose. Please be about the business of sharing the gospel with people. Do you want this church to grow? Would you like to see this church grow, not just as disciples or in our commitment to Christ, but do you want to see people come to know Jesus in this place? If you do, you must be faithful with what God has given to you. Take the message outside of these walls to the people out here who need Christ. Every person has been entrusted with this same stewardship. You know the gospel. You know what God has saved you from and what God has saved you for. And you want people to have that same hope. Take it to them. Take it to them. This week, be thinking and praying about those people that God has placed in your life and how you can reach them. How you can learn about them. To be strategic, to get to know what they like, and to be able to engage them in conversation. Make a point to do that. Step outside of your comfort zone for Jesus' sake. Do those things for His sake. It might even be the people in your own house. Do you want to see your family reached for Christ? Start there. In some of our homes, that is a mission field. Reach them for Jesus. Branch outside of your home and go talk to your neighbors. I had a neighbor in Kentucky that I would get to know very well. I got to know him really well. We talked a lot about grass and fertilizer and shrubbery and flowers and trees and trimming. All the things that don't matter a whole lot. They don't matter a whole lot eternally. They really don't. We love to talk about those things, but he was so difficult to engage with the gospel. And now, as I've moved on, I'm thinking, how now can I reach that man for Jesus? Make time now to reach people for Christ, because today is the day of salvation. Do not wait for another day. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. You have today. Use today to bring the gospel to people for Jesus' sake. And He's placed those people in your life for a reason. Pray and ask God how He would use you to do just that. That means we're going to have to remove barriers. Now, just as Paul was all about removing barriers for the sake of the gospel, that means we have to do those things as well. And so if you have a neighbor that's a Muslim or a Muslim family, guess what? You're not asking them to your house to eat pork chops, okay? Don't ask them to come to eat pork chops at your house, because immediately they're going to be offended. They're not going to hear anything else that you have to say, because they're going to be so worried about the food that you have placed in front of them. People from Eastern cultures, some of them don't wear shoes inside their houses. We need to learn about our neighbors. You know, I've learned after coming here that New York or even Buffalo is a more liberal place. And so politics, you know, people are going to be concerned about politics. They're going to have different views from maybe generally Christians, as we might think. People know what you believe. They know what you think on certain issues. Don't make that the first thing that you start in with when you're talking to people trying to win them to Christ. You're not going to start railing on liberals or start railing on conservatives. Talk to them about Jesus. Start answering some of the more large questions in life. Questions that they need to be able to answer. And questions that everybody seems to have. Questions like, what are the most important things in your life? What is most important to you? Why are we here? Why are we here in this world? You know, what is wrong with the world? I think most people, as they look around, can tell something is not right here. Something has gone wrong. So what will make the world right? What will set things right? And what can they do about it? Those are questions that everybody seems to have. Start to engage them on those questions. You know, as a Christian, you have answers to those questions. Don't be afraid to open up your mouth. Ask God to use you. Ask the Spirit to give you the words to say in the right moment. and ask God to move in amazing ways and give them grace. So let's close today with some of the basics. Some of the basics of what we need to be able to tell people. This is God's world, right? This is God's world. He made it. He made everything in it. He made everything in this world to bring Him glory, especially you. He made people, men, in His image to bring glory to Himself. But something went wrong. Now, God gave man the specific task of obeying Him. But we know that our first parents, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God. And because of that, God cursed the world. He cursed man and the ground that he would labor in. That's what's gone wrong with this world. The Bible has answers to that. Man disobeyed God, failed to worship Him, failed to be obedient to Him and do what God had called him to do. And because of that, we see everything that we see in the newspapers or outside the walls of this church or down here down the road at this halfway house. Things have gone wrong because man disobeys God, fails to worship Him, instead worshiping created things and worshiping himself. And God would have been perfectly just and good to punish everybody for their disobedience. But guess what? God is merciful. He is gracious. He is loving. And He is forgiving. And He sent the only good one to this earth to live in a way that pleases Him. And we call Him Jesus. He is Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And He lived that way for us. And He died for us because He loves us. He loved us, was willing to sacrifice His life for our sake, so that we could know healing and joy and grace and be children in the Father's kingdom. God wants more children in His kingdom. We like to say that we're all children of God, but in a very special way, He has children that He loves. Children that will live forever with Him, by His side, enjoying His presence. And those are the ones that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody who calls on God to save him and is willing to repent of their sins and turn to Jesus, God promises to save them from their sins. He promises salvation, and He promises His Spirit to make us new. And He's making the world new, the world that has fallen and has gone wrong. God is making that new today through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything that went wrong with the world, God is making right through this Jesus, the one that you know, the one that I know, and the one that these people outside these walls need to know. Do you believe that this morning? Do you love the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to see others grow in Christ? Inside here, yes, these people here for sure. But the people outside of here as well. Are you willing to do that? Do you love your Christ? Are you willing to give your life for His sake? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. We thank You for Your gospel. We thank You for Your Son. We thank You for the opportunity to be able to open up this book and know You and trust You and learn more about You. God, You have chosen to reveal Yourself to us. Without Your choosing to do that, God, we would be lost and left in our sins. And so, God, this morning we thank You for Jesus. Please burden us greatly that others in our community would know the Savior that we treasure. And I pray, God, that in the years to come, as we share the gospel with people, that these seats would be filled with worshipers, not just bodies, God. We want them to be worshipers of the one true and living God because they have been transformed by this precious message that You have given to us. Lay it on our hearts this week, God, that as we go to our workplace or in our homes, there would be woe to us if we do not preach the gospel. Please make it so inside of this church. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please join us as we close.